Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Conservative, constitutional. It's the Andrew Cooper Writer Show, keeping you informed on what's going on right here in Kentucky.
And welcome, everybody, to a wonderful Tuesday right here on the Andrew Cooper Writer Show. And today, with session over, I thought it might be a good idea to take a few episodes and go over the good, the bad, and of course, the ugly from this past legislative session, with the good being good things that got passed, got done, got actually accomplished. The bad things being bills that passed that shouldn't have or are bad bills. And the ugly being specifically occurrences where, well, things got ugly. And I believe we've got to take a look at these issues that occurred this session and take a look at these different votes, because what we are seeing is a so-called Republican legislature where it's hard to figure out which conservative principle they actually feel very strongly about and want to push forward. Or are we getting into this cycle of never-ending spending on increasing government bureaucracy, where we have government after time, government just trying to spend as much as they can on as many things as they possibly can. And a lot of times it's just being wasted and it's our money. And we're going into the primary season. You know, one thing I love about Kentucky is the fact that our primaries are just about a month or so away. And that means our session will have wrapped up and we will have had some time to process, to push out information to the voters in the area for them to understand why they should or shouldn't vote for somebody. And I absolutely do like that. But first, yesterday was tax day. It was tax deadline. Time to file your taxes or ask for an extension. And so I thought it might be a good time to have a talk about taxation. And specifically, when we start talking about government taxing too much, one of the things we often hear is, what about the roads? Or anytime you start talking about just government in general, and people, especially on the left or more liberal mindset, start to think, well, you just are an anti-government obstructionist. You just hate government. And, you know, government does good things like my roads. My roads are important. And I agree that to in the natural state of things, humans will organize themselves in a government of some kind. They may not call it a government. You may not vote on it, but it will be some type of competition of resources and might and humans coming at each other over those things and having an orderly process and a way that you can, quote unquote, gather more resources without having to exert violence, but rather it's done through voluntary action, voluntary transactions, like a good capitalist system is going to be the best way we can advance as a society. And I understand, like I said, I know governments will naturally happen. And so I'm not somebody, and as much as my anarcho-capitalists and anarchy followers, listeners, friends, slash frenemies out there may say they want to absolutely see government go away, I'm more of something called a minarchist. I want a minimal, small governments because I recognize that government kind of has to exist anyways. And so a common thing that we all kind of agree on, or a lot of people agree on or talk about, is infrastructure, roads, bridges, those types of things. Most people out there see the government as having a unique aspect and role in making sure infrastructure and roads progress forward. And, you know, one of the things that I like to point out when it comes to this is there are processes, right, where a system where government maybe isn't in charge of the roads or anything else. I think the system would probably be clunky, but it does make some sense. I mean, when you think about it, if for those of you who are unaware, most of our road funding, almost all of it, comes from something called the gas tax. Every time you purchase fuel, there's a tax on that fuel. And so when you are paying right now, what, $3.26 a gallon, you're probably paying somewhere right around about 50 to 60 cents or so of that is a tax to the federal and state governments, with about the state getting about, it's a math complication. I have no idea what the wholesale price of gas is right now, but there's also a minimum on it as well. So the state gets around 25-ish cents is what I'm going to guess right now per gallon. And then the federal government gets about another 25, 30 cents or so per gallon. So that kind of gives you some idea. It's based on wholesale pricing. And I don't know, somebody out there that follows the gas tax a lot more will probably know exactly what the amount is, but I would estimate it's probably right around about 25 cents a gallon at the state level. So anyway, so you're paying that every time you purchase gas, and then that is goes into the road budget, the road fund, and that road fund, the gas fund, can only be used for roads, or it also will go to KSP to enforce the laws on the road. And so government actors will stand behind transportation and say, use that as the cause. Say infrastructure, we need to tax more. We can't take care of the roads. We saw this 2 years ago in 2022. Here in Kentucky, they tried to raise the gas tax, claiming they need more money from the roads. And so I wanted to go over just how important do our current politicians actually view the roads. And you remember this when they claim, when you come at them with issues about cutting spending, and they'll claim, well, what do you want government to cut? But you know, don't you like driving on the roads? And so when they say that, you can take this with you. So in 2022, the two-year transportation budget. So remember, we budget 2 years at a time here in Kentucky. So the 2022, the Kentucky two-year transportation budget was $7 billion with a B, $56,734,500. And in 2024, the two-year budget for transportation for spending on roads is $7,156,145,300. That's an increase of about $99 million or 1.4%. But when we look at our overall state budget during that same time, our overall budget, our 2022 budget compared to our 2024 budget, do we see an increase of spending of 1.4%? No, we don't. We see an increase of spending of 21.8%. So my roads didn't get as much funding as the overall increase in the budget did. You don't see a 21.8%. Now, this is where the politicians kick in and say, Andrew, you already talked about the road fund and how it's funded. If you don't want to increase that tax to put more funding into the roads, well, then how are we going to fund the roads more? That's what it's spent for. It's a usage tax. To which I say to you all, it may be these different funds. It may be a road fund, a general fund. Well, that money there is for the roads, but this money we got for something else. So we can't use it for the roads, and we just happen to have 21.8% more of that money this time around. But to those politicians, I tell you, while it may be different funds to you, to us, the taxpayers, it's all coming out of our one pocket. And if you want to spend more on the roads and you need to tax more through gas, then you should be dropping taxes elsewhere. That's our point. You're already taxing us to death everywhere else to increase the taxation for the roads. It's too much. We can't deal with it. Now, those of you who listen to the show a lot and often know that I took a look at our budget in 2016, the last time Democrats had any say-so. They had control of the House, so they were able to originate the budget bill. And I mentioned how since Republicans have completely taken over the budget process, adjusted for inflation, we see an increase of 57% in funding overall. So how much did the roads budget go up during that time? Well, only 21%, only 21% adjusted for inflation did our road spending go up, in the same time that our overall spending went up 57%. So next time a politician sits there and tells you, well, you know, we need taxes for the roads, you remind them you're spending almost double to triple in percentages on other things than the roads. You're increasing your spending on everything else, and then infrastructure comes last. Why? Because it's the thing that they know you won't want them to cut. So, of course, they have to budget it last. If they budgeted first because it's the most important thing, kind of like the way you budget your rent first or your mortgage first, then they maybe wouldn't be able to waste our money on everything else they want to spend it on. Well, coming up after this, I'll be going over the good. What good did our legislature do this past session? We'll have that after this short break. You're listening to the Andrew Cooperwriter Show, your source for Kentucky politics. And you're back with the Andrew Cooperwriter Show. So session is over. Over for, what, until January of next year, right? So that's another 8 months or so. So I figured it would be a good time for us to do the good, the bad, and the ugly, because not everything's awful that they do, of course. I know on the show a lot of times I'm calling out the negative things they do, but there are good things that occur, and I do want to make sure I talk about those, and I mention it often. But the good from the session, and I might do a few shows where I kind of go through some of these things, as I think it is incredibly important, as I said, as we're going into that primary season. So the good, let's start off with the good thing. So Josh Calloway, earlier in the year, made an impassionate floor speech on protecting children. And you may remember this, I covered this on the show, but he gave a pretty straightforward speech where he's saying, look, we are up here, we're passing bills about some of the dumbest things in the world. I'm paraphrasing, of course, what he said. He didn't say this. I'm paraphrasing. But we are up here and we're passing bills on some of the dumbest things in the world, left and right. But yet some of the most important things, like protecting our kids, we can't get done. And on that day, he attempted to do some maneuvering in order to get a bill to the floor to be voted on that would require pornography companies to verify the ages of users before delivering them content. Now, I did a big show on this at the time, and I talked a lot about the arguments where people say that it's not the government's role to somehow be making sure that children are not watching pornography, that's a parent's role, yada, yada, yada. And we really went through a lot of the arguments here about how even the best parents in the world, we're talking about accidental exposure. You know, we're dealing with the fact that parents don't make money off the porn industry. The porn industry does, so why should they have to expend money trying to put blockers on the computers? The porn industry should be the one spending the money to ensure that the law is followed. But one of the common arguments is that government doesn't have a role here. And of course, as I pointed out at the time, if you believe that it should be illegal for children to view pornography, then it obviously is the government's role to enforce that law. If you believe it's not, shouldn't be illegal, you want to make that argument, we can have that argument. You're kind of a piece of trash. I might call you a pedophile. But if you want to say that it should be legal for children to view pornography, then say that. Otherwise, you can't tell me it's not government's role to enforce a law that is passed that you actually agree should be passed, okay? We'll just end the argument there. But so he wanted to get that done. And the leadership in the House maneuvered as much as they could to stop it from happening. They literally completely destroyed a section of our Constitution dealing with how the House should operate, and made up their own parameters for it in order to stop this from passing, and specifically to stop this from passing. But at the end of the day, we did get something move forward on this. Now, part of it was because of something else that happened on another bill, Josh Calloway moved forward, that the House leadership did not want him doing. And so they basically said, look, if you won't call your amendment, we'll go ahead and call House Bill 278, which Jay Williams over the Senate had put on an amendment, and that was the deal struck. And so we were able to get something passed as an amendment on House Bill 278. And House Bill 278 was just a general child trafficking, sex trafficking, protecting minors law, you know, around sex crime, toughen laws around sex crimes, child sexual abuse, child trafficking, those types of things. And Jay Williams was able to get an amendment passed on it that said that pornography websites were to verify age. They couldn't store that information, but they could verify the age. And then if they failed to do so, parents could seek a remedy and sue the pornography websites for violating the law and delivering content to their minor. And that came over to the House, and it passed there as well. And the governor actually signed it. But the reasoning that the legislature, that is the only thing though, this entire House, not just the House, but our legislature did on conservative social issues. That's about the only thing they did to move that forward, despite all the other things going on, to do with drag shows with minors, something we'll talk about here in a bit, to deal with what's going on with our schools, to go with how our tax dollars are being spent on these things, just DEI, all the different conservative social issues. This is the only thing they did, and it happened basically accidentally. They didn't want it to happen, but it did pass, so it is a good thing. But what's funny about how this passed and how the maneuvering had to come on, and the reason why there was so much pushback is because House leadership, and I have to assume Senate leadership with them, but I know specifically House leadership has said this, said that they didn't want to do a whole lot of controversial conservative things. See, they believe that if the Republicans go, quote unquote, too far on conservative social issues, quote unquote, too far, then they will end up losing elections. They'll lose control of the legislature because they view, rightfully so, that the main reason why Democrats have lost so much here in Kentucky is because of the social issues. That's part of it. Another part of it, of course, is the Democrats' war on coal at the national level that greatly affected the eastern Kentucky stronghold that Democrats had for quite some time. But it is a part of it that they went so far left on the social issues that it pushed people into the Republican Party arms. That is true. But they believe that now if they do conservative social issues and they go too far, then in turn, the voters will turn on them and go over to the Democrats. And maybe that may be true if they go way too far, but what is too far? I mean, if we just returned, okay, to the way socially things were, let's say in 2010, so 14 years ago, not that long ago, 2010, if we just rewind to then, let's see, we have gay marriage isn't legalized. Nobody's chopping body parts off kids for, well, it's not real common. It's not super common. We wouldn't even fathom it that people are chopping body parts off kids to change their gender. They're not giving drugs to kids to change their gender. You're not worried about drag queen story hours. You're not worried about pornography in your kids' school libraries. You're not worried about a trans flag hung up on every single window. The streets aren't painted rainbows down in Lexington. I don't, Pride Month maybe was still a thing at the time. Obviously it was, but I don't remember it being such a big deal where all these corporations would change their flags to the gay pride flags. So rewind to that time, because that's where the Democrats started losing people. And so even if we just, that would be a stopping point, and that would be a point where I'd say, okay, let's be happy there. But they believe just doing anything different than the maintaining the status quo of craziness is too far. And they said they don't want to take a step on this pornography thing because it's too controversial. And it wasn't just them who said that House Bill 278 was controversial. What? Here's an example. Here is the Herald Leader. Here's a quote from one of their articles that the Herald Leader published where they're talking about House Bill 278. And they say, House Bill 278 began as a non-controversial child protection bill to toughen laws around sex crimes, child sex abuse, and trafficking that sailed through the House of Representatives with a unanimous vote in February. They said House Bill 278 began as a non-controversial bill, implying that it now has become a controversial piece of legislation. So you think this extremely controversial piece of legislation, something that House leadership didn't want to get done in the first place, would be very, very difficult to get passed, would have a lot of no votes. Well, if you thought it would have a lot of no votes, you'd be mistaken. In fact, this bill, and I don't know how many other bills landed this way, but it might be the only one, this bill with the rider on it, that pornography websites had to verify ages before delivering content, did not get a single no vote, and Beshear signed the bill. Not even a single Democrat voted no on the bill. So they say, it's too controversial. We can't do this. We're going to lose the majority if we do conservative things. Which, by the way, if you're not going to do conservative social things, what's the use for you? Because you're certainly not doing conservative fiscal things. We know that because, as I brought up in the first section, they've spent, adjusted for inflation, 57% more than Democrats did. So they're not fiscally conservative. So if you're not going to be socially conservative, why have you? But this thing that was too controversial, literally not even Democrats voted no on. Not even Democrats. So the question is, if it's hard to get something that is so non-controversial pass that literally everyone agrees with it, that's how non-controversial it is, but they don't want to do it. And it's no wonder that we had so many things fail, and we'll cover this in bad sections or in ugly sections. So, is there something good to come out of this session? Absolutely. We did get this passed. Did it take a lot of maneuvering? Yes, it did. Should it have been easier? Yes, it should have. But it did get done, and it takes effect here. And because Beshear signed the bill, it's going to take effect. It's going to be interesting to see how the pornography websites respond. Are they going to pull out of Kentucky? Because that's what they did. And all these other places, they pulled out of the state. They pulled out of Texas. They no longer deliver content if your IP is coming from Texas. And so if they do that in Kentucky, well, that means now your kids, in order to view this content, would have to download a VPN. So now you can know. If you that's an easy thing. You look on their computer. They have a VPN. You can say, hey, let's talk about this content. So that sounds like a great thing. Or will they attempt to follow the law? Regardless, we can't expect some lawsuits. They're going to try to obviously challenge the constitutional nature of it because, of course, they make too much money off the smut to just let it go. So, of course, they're going to fight it and somehow pretend that they have a right to deliver content to minors without checking their IDs. We'll see how that goes. Well, coming up after this, so we talked about good, got House Bill 278 done. Now, coming up, we're going to talk about something bad that passed. We'll have that after this short break. You listen to The Andrew Cooperrider Show, your source for Kentucky politics. And you're back with The Andrew Cooperrider Show. So I've been going over the good, the bad, the ugly that went on with this legislative session. Now that it's over, now that it wrapped up yesterday. So I went over the good, a good thing. Now I'm going to go over something bad. And I think to start us off in the bad category as we're working through this session, I think House Bill 11 is one of those that comes to mind is just when somebody says, what's something bad that occurred? There was a few things bad that occurred. A lot of it dealt with what didn't pass, but there was a lot of things that did pass that were bad, like the budget or other things. But when it comes to actual viewpoint on role of government, what should government be doing, not doing, what looks like rank corruption, that's another thing that I don't like, and I don't like seeing large amounts of rank just corruption in our legislature from all legislators. And so when I look at that, I think of House Bill 11. What House Bill 11 did is it banned the selling of non-FDA-approved vaping products. And so that ended up banning thousands of e-cigarette products and vapor juices and all those things. And it looks like it's possibly going to put a lot of businesses out of business here in Kentucky, you know, like these vapor stores, or at least severely hurt them to the point that, you know, obviously that's going to cause jobs. Business owners won't be able to develop. I mean, you're obliterating, potentially, it looks like it's going to obliterate an entire industry. I don't know about you, but I see these kind of vapor stores all over the place. And yet, vapor bars, all these different things, there's a little bit of a culture around these e-cigarettes or vaporizer, whatever you call them. I don't know. I don't vape. But anyways, there's a little bit of a culture around it even. And so all of that put into flux may go away. And it also takes a lot of the affordable, cheaper options for vapor use off the market. And one of the vapor store owners who actually testified on this bill mentioned to the fact that you're taking a lot of the affordable options off the market, leaving only more expensive options like the Juul pods. And those cost so much for the same amount of usage that it could end up pushing people back to just smoking cigarettes, which would explain why Big Tobacco got so involved on this bill, something I'll go into in a second. Now, do I know if using vapor products is better than cigarettes or not? Have I really looked into it? If I'm to be honest, I haven't. I know that the e-cigarettes smell better. I know that they don't turn the walls of houses yellow if you smoke inside. I know that you don't have non-e-cigarette rooms and e-cigarette rooms like you do for cigarettes. So I know that. I don't know if actually smoking them, though, makes a difference. But regardless, what this bill is doing is it's taking priorly legal substances for adults. Because right now, it is currently even, with e-cigarettes, illegal to sell them to kids under the age of 21. Not even kids, just people under the age of 21. Because obviously our federal government saw fit to move the smoking age up from 18 to 21. So it's not even just kids, but people between the ages 18 and 21. But they said that anybody under 21, it's already, you can't purchase these items. And so House Bill 11 comes forward to ban any non-FDA, quote-unquote, approved e-cigarette items, or that's going through the approval process, greatly reducing down the number of products that would actually be available. And the bill's sponsor, Representative Rebecca Raymer, claimed it was all about protecting kids and trying to keep kids off those e-cigarettes. So she claimed it was all about keeping those kids off the e-cigarettes, but it's already illegal to sell it to them. And really, those claims don't make much sense. I mean, she doesn't claim that this is about people's health. And I mean, how could you, right? Because the same argument about, well, e-cigarettes that aren't approved by the FDA is bad for your health. Well, you know what? Smoking's bad for your health. Drinking in excess is bad for your health. E-cigarettes probably overall are worse for your health than not smoking e-cigarettes at all. So saying that, oh, well, we can allow that because that's bad for your health because the FDA hasn't approved it, but we allow cigarettes, which I haven't heard personally a whole lot of stories or assertions or big headlines about how vapor and e-cigarettes are just so much more deadlier than cigarettes are. And so I just don't see how, for allowing cigarettes, why vapor products really matter. I just don't see it. And it's already legal in 21, but it wasn't about the health claims. She never said that. She said it was about keeping kids away from them, even though they're already not allowed. So ban everybody from being allowed to take in certain e-cigarette substances because we gotta keep the kids off of it. Doesn't make sense. And then there's also claims made by the bill sponsor that Big Tobacco had nothing to do with the bill. But lobbying disclosures show that tobacco lobbyists actually spent tens of thousands of dollars lobbying on House Bill 11. So how can you trust the bill sponsor? You have her in writing lying about tobacco lobbyists, saying, no, tobacco lobbyists have nothing to do with this bill, but the disclosures from lobbyists say tens of thousands of dollars otherwise. And I ask you this, do you really think this House chamber, by and large, just cares about kids' health just so much? Remember, these are the same people that said a bill to ban kids from viewing pornography was controversial, even though it passed without a single no vote. You think suddenly it just became so important to them that kids don't vape non-FDA approved vapor liquid? Because keep that in mind, once again, if it's about protecting kids, so what, it's somehow good for kids who are under 21 that are getting these products that shouldn't have these products to use FDA-approved vapor products, but non-FDA-approved vapor products are really bad? I mean, if the problem is kids are getting a handle on it, then how would banning only non-FDA-approved vapor, why would that protect kids? But do you think that's what it's about? Or do you really think it's all about the Benjamins? Think it's about those sweet, sweet dollar bills payoffs. And it passed 62-26 in the House and 29-7 votes in the Senate. And this is just a bad bill. It's cutting into the nanny state. I mean, when you're taking things that have been legal for people forever, and now suddenly out of nowhere, because some people gave you some dollars, you decide you're going to go ahead now and do the work of banning it. Well, that doesn't look too good now, does it? It really doesn't. And honestly, the lying about it too, it's too much. You know, Savannah Maddox, she had an impassioned floor speech where she talked about this is going to be one of those things where once it takes effect, And, you know, Bashir signed it. He didn't veto it. He agrees with it. And so once it takes effect, you, the constituents, are going to start calling up your legislators, asking them, why did you vote yes for this? And it's going to bite them in the butt. And I hope it does. Because eventually they got to start realizing, stop pretending that this is anything but who's paying you off. In the same way that gambling is all about who's paying them off. It's the horse industry. That's who's paying them off. That's why everything gambling that happens in the state's got no rhyme, no reason, no principle to it. It's only about who's paying them the most. It's the same thing here. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. There's no conservative principle here. It's nothing but big tobacco is paying them off. That's all it is. It's nothing else. And as evidence that it has nothing to do with protecting children, we need but turn to our ugly portion of today's show. What ugly that happened deals with Senate Bill 147, sponsored by Lindsay Tishner. I can't think of a clear example that this is about a House who is that the House is unwilling to even have a second thought about protecting kids than that bill right there. And we'll have that after this short break. You listen to the Andrew Cooperator Show, your source for Kentucky politics. And you're back in the final segment here with the Andrew Cooperator Show. So I've covered good, covered bad. And today we've got a little bit of theme in our good, bad, the ugly. It's about kids and how the chamber, the House chamber almost specifically, views protecting children. I mean, the Senate's got its issues. It does. But the House chamber recently has had some problems. And I think a lot of this stems from, when it comes to these kid issues, when it comes to, you know, any conservative social issues, because a lot of conservative social issues do have to deal with kids. It doesn't have to deal with consenting adults doing things in private. It's got to do with what you do in public in the view of children and the rest of society, but specifically children. That's if there was any way to sum up conservative social views, conservative social agenda, has to do with the fact that, look, don't corrupt our kids. Stop sexualizing our children. Stop trying to corrupt them. Let's, you know, we need traditional values coming into life, or we're going to end up with nothing but a bunch of thug, selfish people who do nothing but break the law, complain, and don't want to work and don't want to do anything for society. That's what we'll end up with. We'll end up with nothing but a bunch of crybabies who think they're victims and never want to work for anything because, well, how can they? They're a victim of everything. That's what we'll end up with. It needs to be addressed. But that's what it all has to deal with. Conservative social issues all have to deal with kids. And today we've been focusing a little bit on the House because they've been fighting back on the social conservative issues. The leadership there has. And I think a big part of the reason has to do with the fact there is a large and growing cadre of conservative slash, some people call them liberty Republicans. I call them conservative Republicans. But this growing group of liberty, populist, conservative people that don't like the establishment, don't like the status quo, don't like lobbyists and big money controlling every part of government, that is fighting back. And there's a good amount of legislators in the House. We're probably up to about 15 or so there. But over in the Senate, there's really only two or three at the most. And it's just not enough of a voting block to really cause just a natural backlash against anything conservative. The Senate might even be learning from the House and seeing the backlash that is happening where House members are being able to be taken out and saying, look, let's just let them have their social issues or half measure on these social issues so that way we don't have to deal with fighting them later on down the road. It's a very big possibility. So when we look at the House, though, and we need another example of where it's nothing is about protecting kids, it's about the lobbyists, it's about the dollars, it's about the donors, we look at Senate Bill 147. So for 2 years now, Lindsay Tishner has been trying to pass this bill. And what this bill does, it's very simple, and it's to protect kids from being exposed to adults performing sexually in front of them, dressing sexually in front of them. It's to stop children from being exposed to naked strangers. It's a bill to stop kids from seeing simulated sexual acts out in public. List of these grotesque displays that have become extremely commonplace in our public square. You know, I've shared stories about attending 4th of July parades and seeing men, grown men, walking around in very inappropriate clothing around children that if somebody walked up to my kid and was wearing that, I would want them charged for exposing themselves to minors. Extremely inappropriate. And the bill takes aim at our tax dollars funding what is these clearly, you know, sexual deviant displays, like these drag shows. It also tries to keep kids from attending what is overtly sexual drag performances, and our tax dollars from funding the venues. Because a lot of times you'll see these drag shows going on where they're scantily clad, they're simulating sexual acts, and they're doing it in taxpayer-funded facilities, places that are being propped up. Your dollars are being taken from you and used to fund it. And it has to stop. You know, you want to do whatever you want to do yourself in private settings, so be it. Do it as long as you're free and consenting adults and it's private and, you know, kids aren't being exposed. But the minute you involve children and the minute you want to spend other people's money on it, that has to be stopped. So last year, Senator Lindsay Tishner put forward Senate Bill 115, which passed in the Senate 26-6. It's a bill that did much of the same thing, would establish parameters on adult-oriented businesses and the spending of public dollars on drag shows. It went over to the House last year, 2023, on March 13th, a full 6 voting days before session was over. Plenty of time to pass, but the House didn't move it. Then this year, Lindsay Tishner put forward Senate Bill 147, a very, very similar bill, but actually a little more pared down, a little bit narrower in what it dealt with. Part of it to do with constitutional concerns. Part of it was the fact that it died in the House and they're trying to get something passed rather than nothing. And so the bill here at least got a committee hearing where it was actually supported by Kentucky's first openly transgender elected official or transgender elected official and leftist activist actually supported the bill. And even the ACLU said they really don't have a lot of issues with the bill because it treats drag shows in the same way as they do adult cabaret. If they're inappropriate and sexual performances, the same way adult cabaret, striptease, those kinds of things are, they can't happen in public settings in front of kids, they can't happen near children, and they can't happen at taxpayer-funded entities. Clear and straightforward. And so the House received this bill on March 7th. After it got Senate Bill 147 this year, March 7th, they received the bill after it got a 32-6 vote in the Senate. They had a full 15 session days before the end of the session. Again, plenty of times. Way more bills move faster than that. And the bad portion I talked about, House Bill 11, the bill to ban certain vape products. So a lot of the vast majority of vape products. House Bill 11 got to the Senate on 3/12, March 12th, and was passed with a few days to spare, with 2 days to spare. And so, remember, the House got Senate Bill 147 on March 7th, didn't find the time to pass it, gave it a committee hearing, didn't find the time to pass it, but yet the Senate can get a bill on 3/12 that is, if anything, a government overreach that no conservative government, no conservative Republican legislature should be looking at doing, and yet was able to find the time with a few less days to get it a committee hearing and get it passed and have days to spare. Plenty of time. It even got, and let's keep in mind that ACLU, far leftist transgender activists, they all said the bill was fine. Yet what happened? This chamber that's supposedly so worried about protecting kids, they had to ban vapor products that was already illegal for under 21s to purchase. The bill, even though it passed in committee, didn't get called for a vote. And even if they called it in the last 2 days, we know Beshear'd veto it, so it doesn't really matter. But what is the reasoning here? What could possibly be why this chamber doesn't want to get these things done? Could it be that it's about the money? Yeah. Is it about trying to keep a control on the House? Absolutely. But a lot of it is, as I mentioned earlier, they're making up their own dragons. You know, this is a common phrase that when a knight goes out and he slays a dragon, that he gets rewarded for it, everybody claps for him. But he slayed the dragon, the greatest creature there is, and he goes out and he's trying to find things to attack, and he ends up swinging his sword at nothing. Well, they've slayed the dragon by taking down the Democrats in Kentucky, and for the first time ever, giving Republicans a majority. But they feel like, now that they've slayed the dragon, they're worried about what else are they going to fight, that something's going to come after them. And they're swinging their sword at nothing in the field. Nobody in this state is going to vote you out for saying kids can't be at drag shows. We all know their sexual performances. We all know kids shouldn't be at them. Nobody in this state is going to vote you out because you didn't ban non-FDA approved vapor products. It's not going to happen. Nobody's going to vote you out for it. Nobody's going to vote you out because you passed a law saying that children cannot access pornography and age verification needs to happen. Nobody's voting you out for that. It shouldn't be so hard to get these things passed. Well, tomorrow we'll be talking probably about more good, bad, ugly, some other issues. As session's wrapping up, we'll talk about what happened in the last 2 days as well. You're listening to The Andrew Cooper Show, your source for Kentucky politics. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.